relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
The only plan that you offer, the plan you just offered, is to process aliens faster and encourage more to come. We know that to be true. I know it's true. You know it's true. Cartels know it's true. And people around the world know it's true. And that's why people are coming.
That is false.
The secure, it's not false.
Yes, it is.
The entirety of your plan says that. The Secure Fence Act of 2006 says what? That the Secretary of Homeland Security shall take all actions the Secretary determines necessary to achieve and maintain operational control over the entire international land and maritime borders. Will you testify under oath right now? Do we have operational control, yes or no?
Yes, we do.
And we have operational control of the borders.
Yes, we do. And, Congressman, we are working to...
Listen, what operational control defined. In this section, the term operational control means the prevention of all unlawful entries into the United States, including entries by terrorists, other unlawful aliens, instruments of terrorism, narcotics, and other contraband. Do you stand by in your testimony that we have operational control in light of this definition?
I do, and Congressman, I think the Secretary of Homeland Security would have said the same thing in 2020 and in 2019.
It's that smirk at the end that tells you everything you need to know. Welcome, dear friends. This is America First One-on-One with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump and member of the Defense Department's National Security Education Board. That was the individual responsible for your security, for the homeland security of this nation, Alejandro Mayorkas, Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, being asked by Congressman Chip Roy a very seemingly technical question, but I think you get the gist. Do you, the man who has the responsibility, have operational control of the border? And Mayorkas said yes. I know somebody who thinks very differently on the topic, served honorably this nation in multiple facilities in and out of uniform, including Commissioner of Customs and Border Protection in the Trump administration. He's in studio, none other than the Heritage Foundation's and FAIR's Commissioner Mark Morgan. Mark, welcome in studio.
Thanks for having me, Sebastian.
I could see your neck arteries expanding as you were listening to that cut. We'll get to that in a second. For those who see you everywhere speaking truthfully about what's happening on the border, but who may not know everything you've done in your past before you got to be the commissioner for CBP, tell us all the different ways you've served this nation. Give us a little summary of Mark Morgan's history.
I appreciate it, Sebastian. Look, I've served this country for 35 years. I started off, I enlisted in the United States Marine Corps when I was 19, later became a commissioned officer in the Marine Corps. I was a police officer for the Los Angeles Police Department. I served over two decades in the FBI. And I was also chief of the Border Patrol before I later became acting director of ICE and then acting director of Customs and Border Protection.
God bless you. Thank you for all the service. Actually, given that you have that Leo background as well in a municipality, I'm going to talk to you about those issues later in our hour. But let's talk about that clip from Chip Roy. Operational control, whether it's in the military sense of a battlefield or a carrier group or the border, what does operational control really mean, Mark Morgan?
Yeah, so look, in this case, and the term, it's in the 2000 Secure Fence Act. So I really encourage those that are watching and listening to this show, take 5 minutes and Google that. It really is, they've got that term from an old military term, right? And it means just what it means and just what it says. Operational control, in this case, a linear miles of a border, means you have 100% control of what is coming into our country from the borders. It's very clear. It doesn't say some. It doesn't say most. It says all. And so when the secretary said all, it was an abject lie, Sebastian. And look, and he also did a lie on top of a lie because he also said the secretary of 2019-20 would have said the same thing. That's a lie too, because I was a commissioner then. And this is what I used to always say when I used to ask that question, because I knew what the definition is by law. And I would never say we had operational control. What I did say, what the truth is that under President Trump, we had the most secure border in our lifetime. And every single day, the border was getting more secure.
Let me posit something to you. If we go back to 1999 and the Clinton grand jury, and that seminal moment when the serving president was asked, did you have sexual relations with that woman, Monica Lewinsky? And he said, well, it depends what the definition of is. Could this be what Mayorkas is doing here? He's playing with the definition of operational control. For example, if your operational objective was to allow as many illegal aliens into America, then he could say, yes, we have operational control because we've had 2 million in 15 months.
Right. I think that's what he means through his ideology. The only reason why I say that can't be and why this is an absolute lie, he lied to Congress, is because Chip Roy, Representative Chip Roy, Sebastian did a good job. He read the definition by law.
For those who are listening, he pulled up full quote from the act. He held it up on a whiteboard, and then he read the definition of operational control.
And then he went back to the secretary and said, per this definition.
Do you have it?
He said, right. Yes, that's where he's lying. But look, later on, when he went and did his Sunday talk show circuit and tried to do some cleanup, it's funny because I had the exact same conversation with a colleague when he was asked by Brett Baer, how many illegal aliens have you released in the United States? That's when he did his, it depends on what what the definition of is moment, when he said, we're not releasing people. We're simply allowing them to come to the United States and put them on alternatives to detention. It's just absurd.
That is absolutely the is moment. So in case people think, because we've seen this with various positions in the last 15 months, for example, this new Commissar of Truth, Nina Jankowicz, who her qualifications to be a propaganda minister seem to be her off-Broadway singing capacity. So there seems to be qualifications don't seem to matter. But in the case of Mayorkas, this isn't some guy they randomly picked up off the street, because he served at DHS on immigration issues before under another administration, correct?
That's exactly right, and really two major capacity. One, he was the director of USCIS, and then he was the deputy secretary.
Explain what USCIS is.
So that is the United States Customs Enforcement Service, right?
For immigration,
right? And then he served as the deputy secretary of DHS.
So he knows this building.
He knows, absolutely.
Okay. In that case, let's talk about the truth. You served in the Trump administration, the securest we had the border. Give us some figures, give us some numbers, give us how COVID factored into it. So let's look at 3 years ago, vice today. Give us that battlefield snapshot of the situation. What did it look like 3 years ago prior to COVID, and what does it look like now?
And that's really key, and there's really three key areas at that, and you hit them, Sebastian. So let's go back to 2019, May of 2019. That's when we had the highest we'd seen in years in a single month. It was a little over 140,000. Keep that in mind, 140,000. We all agreed, everybody agreed, 140,000 was a full-blown crisis. Former Secretary Jay Johnson under President Obama said that was a full-blown crisis. He said 1,000 a day, again, a full-blown crisis. And so we started developing a network of tools, authorities to really address the loopholes and secure a border. By February of 2020, we had reduced the flow of illegal immigration by 75%. Then COVID hits. So we implemented a myriad of tools, authorities, and policies, one of them being the Remain in Mexico program. It was a public health. It wasn't immigration. It was a public health.
Let's stop there. What was the novelty aspect of the Remain in Mexico program? What did you do differently under that?
So this was a key, and this is one of the key thing that still is an essential right now, is one of the largest loopholes in our illegal immigration process was the Florida Settlement Agreement, which said that if you broke into our country illegally as a family, we could not detain you more than 20 days. We had to release you. That's what we all have heard is catch and release.
Right.
Again, you break into family, you're released, never be heard from again. The Remain in Mexico program closed that loophole, shut it down. We no longer were releasing them in the United States. And they knew, look, it's common sense. So you cut down, you cut off the very thing they wanted, which is to be released into the
to be able to disappear without coming back to an immigration court.
Exactly, because we also know, this is another thing the secretary's lying, is that once they're here, they're not going to show up, and they're not going to self-report when they have a final order of removal. They don't show up.
What are the numbers of that? When somebody gets a letter in the mail, you must leave America, how many people go to the court and say, yes, you can deport me now?
Less than 8%.
Less than 8%.
Right now, there's about 1.2 million illegal aliens in this country that have a final order of removal and still remain here illegally.
Wow.
So we had the Remain in Mexico program, and again, so it reduced the flow by 75% and allowed more Border Patrol agents on the front lines to better secure our borders, and then COVID hit. Title 42.
We'll talk about Title 42 because that's a crucial, crucial question. We are talking to Mark Morgan, former Commissioner of Customs and Border Protection. This is America First coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. If you enjoyed the show as much as we love providing it to you, make sure that you are subscribed. Go to your favorite podcast platform. Go to Spotify. Plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka. Subscribe. Write us a review. It does make a difference. And make sure that you never miss an episode and share the links with your friends. Stay with us for more from Mark Morgan. If you haven't done so already, be sure to join us. Book your tickets for the Stand With Israel tour later this year, 10 days in the Holy Land with my Salem colleague Dinesh D'Souza and his lovely wife Debbie. If you've been to the Holy Land before, that's okay. You haven't been with me and Dinesh. If you haven't, this is your opportunity. I'm not vaccinated. I'm going. Israel has revised their policies. Join us to walk where our Lord and Savior walked the earth. Please call today or go to standwithisraeltour.com. The number 855-565-5519. That number again, 855-565-5519, or just go to standwithisraeltour.com. That's standwithisraeltour.com. In November of 2020, the Democrats were up to no good. They were planning to pull off the greatest scheme of election fraud ever. They didn't think we would catch them, but we did. Find out what they did and how they did it in the new documentary film, 2000 Mules, directed and narrated by renowned filmmaker Salem's own Dinesh D'Souza and executive produced by the Salem Media Group with research from True the Vote. 2000 Mules tells the story of criminals who tried to hijack a presidential election. You'll see the actual video surveillance footage. You'll see how we tracked the mules by their cell phones to box after box as they got paid to carry out this illegal scheme. Watch the movie, decide for yourself. Attend the limited release premieres on May 2nd and May 4th. Check out your local listings. Get your tickets today only at 2000mules.com. That's the number 2000mules.com. So we had this remarkable success just before COVID hit by simply doing what President Trump promise, which was to secure the border, start building the wall. Then COVID hits, and then this CDC directive, or the public health directive for Title 42. Why is Title 42 so important? And why are we even hearing Democrats now, people from Biden's party, saying, no, White House, don't rescind this yet?
Yeah, so it gets a little complicated. And again, I'm still very much skeptical of the Democrats joining to keep Title 42. Again, it was a public health order. We instituted it in March of 2020 under President Trump.
So 2 months after we know that COVID is real,
yep.
Trump administration uses this existing power but just activates it, which means what about illegal immigration?
Which means that what the CDC said, and it makes sense, is that to further reduce the introduction of spread of COVID into the United States from outside the borders, we're no longer going to allow people to illegally enter the United States while we're going through a global pandemic. It just makes sense.
Which meant you could simply send them back far correct. More easily.
Correct, correct. And they were not allowed to claim asylum. That literally, when they came across, we were processing them on the border. We were not bringing them into our congregate settings. We weren't exposing Border Patrol agents to undue risk. And we sure as a heck were not exposing Americans by introducing more COVID. And we have learned over time that easily 20% of the illegal aliens had active COVID at the time. And so as this started to progress, Sebastian, we actually started to get less than, sometimes it was less than 800, 900 illegal aliens that we were encountering in a day.
In one day?
In one day, less than 800.
Wow.
And we were in May the year before, again, to go to your timeline, the year before we were averaging about 4,000. So we went from 4,000 to about less than 1,000.
So here's the cynical question with regards to all of Title 42, which worked when you had an administration that cared, like President Trump, yourself, Tom Homan. But now, if you've released 2 million illegals into the country, doesn't that mean effectively, Title 42 isn't even being used. So is this kind of like a moot point whether or not we rescind it?
Well, yes and no. Yes and no, because you're right in the fact that Title 42, under President Trump, we apply Title 42 to all demographics, right? Doesn't matter whether you're a single adult, a family, or unaccompanied minor. Because this is the one medical science I think we can all agree. A 16-year-old or 15-year-old can carry COVID as much as an adult can. So if you're going to say we're trying to prevent COVID from coming into a country, it applies to everybody. That's what we did. The Biden administration, the first thing they did a political carve-out for unaccompanied minors. Even though we know the majority of unaccompanied minors breaking into our country illegally are 15 to 17 COVID. So that's check one, hypocrisy doesn't make sense. The second issue is what you elicited to, is that families. So their own CDC said that Title 42 applies to families. They're not applying it to 80, 90% of families as it stands right now.
But so, when you say families, yep. So here's the other thing. When my wife was your colleague at the Department of Homeland Security, there was, at least as I understand it, a test run in certain vicinities, certain border areas, of DNA testing of so-called putative family units. And you found shocking numbers of family, quote-unquote, family units coming in, and they did the DNA testing, and the adults had no relationship to the children. The children were props, coyotes hired them or what have you from their parents. That's all gone now, hasn't it? Even just that trial run to say, hang on, are you really that kid's mum or dad? We don't even know. I mean, family unit, that's just made up, isn't it?
Yeah, Sebastian, again, this is why I love talking to you, because that's right. In 2019, we shoved a lot of resources down there to do this rapid DNA, and we were found in just that, an alarming amount of fake families. Again, the cartels are going to exploit everything.
Because they know the rules, and if you're family, oop, can't touch them, let them in.
Yep, that's your passport automatically and never be touched again, right? So we saw that, and we were addressing all that. All that's been removed. So not only in this administration not applying Title 42 to UACs, they're not applying it to families. They have been applying it to single adults. That's where you hear this rhetoric is, oh, we're still removing people under Title 42. Sebastian, it's only single adults. That's the only demographic that they're applying Title 42. So now that's why we're saying when we're still in the middle of a global pandemic, we're not on the other side of this. And this is where I get frustrated, if you don't mind real quick. So this country, even though I think there's a strong argument that some of the things we've been asked to do go against our American values, we've been tested, we've been vaccinated, we're wearing our masks, we're doing all this stuff. Even though there's strong argument not to do that, we're doing that. And yet we have another variant here. But here's the point that everybody's missing. Title 42 is not about how effective we are in our country. It's about how ineffective other countries are dealing with it. 157 countries, illegal aliens from 157 different countries have been apprehended. There's a good amount of those countries are way behind America in dealing with this. Yeah. They don't have testing, they don't have vaccine. Haiti, for example, less than 1% of their population has been fully vaccinated. So now
less than
1%. So here's what you're going to have. You're going to have a family of five or six illegal break in our country, demand the border patrol, hurry up and process me and give me my free taxpayer-funded plane ticket anywhere in the country I want to go. And oh, by the way, we all have COVID. When Title 42 goes away, the Border Patrol agent is going to have to say, no problem, come on in. How does that make sense?
And I have to ask you, how many illegals are there in the country? Because this figure of 11 million has been quoted for about 30 years. Yeah. Some people say it's closer to 30 million. Can we even know?
No, we don't know. We absolutely don't know. And here's one of the reasons why we don't know. The category of gotaways.
Yeah.
I was talking to former Chief Rodney Scott. We've been talking about gotaways for a long time. The media is finally talking about gotaways, those that break into our country illegally and evade apprehension. There is no way to accurately know just how many gotaways have happened every single year.
Could be tens of millions. Yep. We're talking to former Commissioner Mark Morgan. This is America First One-on-One. Mike Lindell has a true passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. Therefore, he created the Giza Dream bed sheets. They look and feel incredible, which translates to an even better night's sleep for you. Mike's latest amazing deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you will receive 60% off the Giza Dream sheets that come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. You'll receive a full set for as low as $39.99. And for a limited time, with
any purchase, you'll receive Mike's soft cover book free when you use promo code GORKA. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use promo code GORKA. Along with this offer, you'll also get deep, deep discounts on all his MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-829-8468, promo code GORKA. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code GORKA.
Mark, you used the phrase asylum, and we hear the phrase refugee being bandied about a lot. And I've mentioned this before several times on my show. This is personal to me, not just because I'm an immigrant who came here legally, gone in line, paid the money, took my test, took my oath of office in front of witnesses, but because my parents were real refugees and real asylum seekers. My father was a 26-year-old man in a communist political prison who'd been put there because he was an anti-communist. He'd been tortured, given a life sentence at the age of 20. He was liberated by the freedom fighters in 1956 in Hungary. And with the 17-year-old daughter of a fellow prisoner literally crawling through a minefield into free Austria, they end up in a refugee camp where they are vetted for 6 weeks, interviewed by counterintelligence officers to make sure they're not part of the communist regime, they're not subversives. And then they are offered a choice. The nations that would accept them were the UK, the US, Australia, and Canada. My father chose the UK. And they were there as asylum seekers because, and I'm no lawyer, but you tell me if I'm wrong, you can only apply for asylum, number one, if going back to the country you are of is a risk to you physically. For political, ethnic, religious reasons, you will be persecuted. And second, according to international law, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, if you escape your country that is persecuting you systematically because of the nature of the government, you must request asylum in the first country you safely arrive in. You can't walk through 27 different countries and then end up in America or Switzerland and say, this is where I want to be an asylum seeker. So for me, this is personal because I don't think that most of the people who are asking for asylum are here for those reasons.
That's right. First of all, Sebastian, your story, your father's story, that's exactly why we have asylum laws. For individuals like that. The asylum laws are very clear, and you just described it. What asylum is for, again, it's very clear. It's for if you're involved in state-sponsored persecution because of your involvement in a protected class or social group.
Right. It's not because your neighbor hates you down the road.
Right.
The state is persecuting you because you're black, you're white, you're Christian, you're a Muslim, and you're not safe.
That's right. Your father's example. That right. is what asylum is designed to do, right? And here's another thing. There's a lot of misunderstanding, and I understand because we're the most compassionate country in the world, but it's also not for if you live in a neighborhood that has gang violence. That does not qualify you.
Or if you can't find a good job.
That's right. Economic migrants. So that goes back to your final
question.
It's not
asylum. You can't be an asylum seeker because you want a better job.
A better job, better house, better car. That's not what asylum is designed to do. But we know the overwhelming amount of those that are illegally in our country are economic migrants. They do not have valid asylum claims.
And is that why we see this amazing footage from Todd Benzman that he took down in Del Rio of Haitians, not Mexicans, not people from Guatemala, but Haitians in their thousands. And we have the photographs, we have the footage of Haitian ID papers being jettisoned there because they don't want to be able to be proven of them that they're economic migrants, so they deny where they come from or their identity.
That's exactly right. And the majority of Haitians that we saw, you know, last year under in Del Rio under that bridge, the majority at that moment, they hadn't lived in Haiti for 5 or 10 years.
Where were they coming from?
Brazil.
Right. They were working in Brazil.
Okay jobs.
And wanted a better one.
Exactly, Sebastian. Right. That's it. Again.
So they ditched the Brazilian ID
card. That's right.
Because they want to say, I'm persecuted in Haiti.
Right. That's right.
And the second point am I right on if you are persecuted, the first place you must apply for asylum is the first safe country?
So that's the international standard, but our law, it's may, it's not shall.
Okay.
But that's what we were doing with the Northern Triangle countries that Trump instituted the asylum cooperative agreements, the ACAs.
Agreements with those countries exactly. That are safe as well and saying, hey, if he crossed your territory, well, guess what? He should have applied back there.
Correct. That's it. So and if you think about common sense, if the individual has an actual true asylum claim, shouldn't we be encouraging that individual or that family to seek relief in the first safe third country?
So this is I should have given pictures of this to my team. We spent Christmas 4 years ago in the Middle East. We went to Jordan. We went to Israel. This was at the height of the refugee influx or exfiltration from Syria. And we went to the biggest Syrian refugee camp in Jordan. And we sat down with the Muslim Bedouin Jordan police officer who's running this camp. And he said something fascinating. He said, the refugee problems should always be solved closest to where the problem is. You don't take somebody from Afghanistan and then ship them to Switzerland. You've got to try and keep them close to their country. Because why? In most cases, they're going to want to go back, or the rest of their family's there, so none of it makes sense. We're talking to Mark Morgan. This is America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. So, Mark, I have so many questions I want to ask you, so let's see what we've hit. We've hit Title 42. Let's talk about the many aspects of this, because we're talking about just securing the border, but why is this a problem on so many different policy levels? So this is not just about the sovereignty, or let's say the territorial integrity of America, which seems to be a lot of people on the left think the territorial integrity of the Ukraine is so important now. I wonder why American territorial integrity isn't. Can you give us the other angles, the other facets of this rock? National security, humanitarian, rule of law, and economics. Can you just walk us through why this fixing this fixes so many things?
Because public safety issue, public health issue, national security issue. That's why, Sebastian, this is the key question. This is not about illegal immigration, but we're overly focused on that, obviously, because we're seeing the highest levels of illegal immigration we've seen in our lifetime. But here's why I keep saying that. This is about border security. But when you have a historic high level of illegal immigration against the rule of law, against the sovereignty, et cetera, our ability to secure our borders exponentially and equally goes down.
Right.
They're proportional and they're connected. Illegal immigration is not a victimless crime. When you have the volumes we have, you're having your precious border patrol resources that are pulled off the front lines, leaving a border unpatrolled, unmonitored, wide open. There are some sectors that at times 80% of the Border Patrol resources have been put off the line to really do nothing but become a federal travel agency.
Well, babysitters.
Babysitters and travel.
Handing out the government phone, the plane ticket.
Baby diapers.
Right.
Feeding babies. And so the border is wide open and susceptible to the vast set of threats that are being pushed by the cartels and smugglers.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
So let's imagine that you're back in the Trump administration and you're testifying on Capitol Hill You worked for the man. I worked for the man. What would have happened to you as Commissioner of Customs and Border Protection, or if you were Secretary of Department of Homeland Security, if you had testified, as Mayorkas did a few days ago, when asked what's happened to the 23 individuals identified on the terrorism watch list who were intercepted at the border, and you said, I don't know. What would have President Trump done to you?
I think the next day, I probably would have seen a tweet along with the rest of the country that I was fired.
You're fired. Right. Right. And this individual's still there.
Right. And I should have been fired. Well, not only is he inept. I mean, think about that. 42 individuals on the FBI's terror screening database, and he could not provide that answer
just where they are.
Right. He didn't have to divulge any national security issues. Right. He could have said what he said later as he's doing a cleanup show on Sunday talk shows. He says, oh, I know where they are. Right. Well, that's because
but
his
that
staff briefed him.
Of course.
Right.
That's the CYA of the city. So you've been a Marine. You're always a Marine. You're never an ex-Marine.
That's right.
You've served as a LEO, law enforcement officer for the LAPD. You've risen through the ranks. You've been commissioner. Let's talk about the law enforcement aspect of this, or at least the esprit de corps. I don't know how, 16 months later, how anybody works this job when you are literally the greeter at Walmart, but you just happen to have a badge and a gun and a chest rig that says CBP. What's happening to your former subordinates and colleagues?
Yeah. So first of all, Sebastian, thank you, because you're one of the rare hosts that will actually ask about the agents, the men and women on the front lines risking their life. Their morale is the worst it's ever been. And here's why. It's not because they're not willing to get up and risk their lives and do a challenging job in adverse condition. Sebastian, it's just the opposite. They're angry and frustrated, and their morale is low because they're not allowed to do the job they stand on to protect the American people. It's why you've had agents turn their back on the secretary. It's why you've had agents challenge their own chief, saying, hey, for evil to win is for good men to do nothing, and we're doing nothing. It's why I had a Border Patrol agent tell me that I've been doing this job for 26 years. I looked in the mirror for the first time in my life, and I realized I'm part of the largest federal smuggling operation in the world.
So this, for me, this is where if there are different results in the midterms, if President Trump comes back, or a forthright executive, I believe people should be prosecuted. That's the conclusion I came to last week, because what you are doing is it's not incompetence and accident. A conscious decision is made to facilitate the smugglers.
That's right.
Now, if I did that as a private citizen, if I pulled back a fence to allow a gun smuggler or a drug trafficker,
or help somebody escape prison.
Or to help somebody escape prison.
Right.
I'm guilty. I'm committing a felony.
As you should be.
So this is happening at a federal level, saying, yes, ring the dinner gong and open the gates. That should be culpability and material support to organized crime.
I totally agree with you. That's why the first thing, if the right people get back in Congress, that the articles of impeachment should be filed for Secretary Mayorkas. Again, he's lying to the American people. When he says he has operational control, as we discussed, it's a lie. 700,000 gotaways under his tenure have evaded apprehension, broken our country, made their way to every town, city, and state. There are murders, rapists, pedophiles, gang members. How many more illegal aliens on the FBI's terror screening database that got away? How many more drugs have poured into this country that killed 100,000 Americans in a 12-month period? We could go on and on and on. Not only has he literally handed the borders over to the cartels, but he's lying to the American people about it.
Got to ask you this, because it made a big splash for a few days when you hear Governor DeSantis say we're going to deploy troops to the southern border, or you see Governor Abbott in Texas voluntarily say, ask volunteers, hey, would you like to go to D.C. for a school trip? And he fills six buses with illegal immigrants to get a kind of day pass to D.C. Are these stunts? Does this make any difference? Is this just theater? What could or what should the role of states be when the White House is doing all of this to undermine the sovereignty?
Yeah, so a couple of things. If you look at it, what Governor Abbott and other governors like DeSantis are doing, they're doing more than any other governors in the country. Governor Abbott, specifically the Operation Lone Star, he's got 1,500 Texas troopers down there, 6,500 national National Guard members that are literally trying to secure the border and fill that void left by the administration. And as far as sending the busloads back to D.C., look, he knew his goal of that was not, it was under no delusion that was going to secure the border.
Right.
It was a message, right? And guess what? It worked. I mean, a couple of weeks later, we're still talking about it, right? So,
yeah.
It was to really drive it to be on the top fold of the newspaper. And also, I think, Sebastian, and we need to start doing more of this, to send a message to the Republicans that have remained on the sidelines into the shadows. It's time for you to come out of the shadows, step up, be aggressive, and push back against this administration. And I think we're still not where we want to be, but it helped.
Yes, whether it's January the 6th or whether it is the situation on the border, it's a good message to Republicans as well to actually start getting busy. I've got to ask one last question, Mark, and this has flown by. We could do this for hours. Follow this man's work. Go to heritage.org. Join today the Conservative Mother Trip. That's heritage.org. Why is this administration? I mean, you've been working this for decades now. Why do you think they're doing this? Because, as somebody pointed out, no nation on earth does it. No nation, even the richest, like Switzerland, opens the border and says, anybody is welcome and you can get away with coming here illegally. What's the real reason?
Yeah, and knowing when you do that, you're going to negatively impact every aspect of our nation's public health, safety, national security,
yeah.
Right? So they are legitimately putting our country in danger. Why? I see really two things going on. One is a perceived political benefit. Remember, illegal aliens are counted as part of the census.
Right, so even if they don't vote for you,
you got it.
You're going to be able to redistrict and get more votes, especially
yep.
in Democrat states, if that's where they end up. So, you know, it's just warm bodies that are used to apportion congressional seats. That's a huge point. Yes,
it is. The second part of the political aspect is they believe that every single illegal alien they find a pathway to citizenship is going to vote Democratic.
Right.
So you have a duality of the public issue. But then there's something that I've seen when I started off 35 years serving this country that I've never seen is you've got an infusion of the politics that we just described, but also ideologues. I've never seen so many ideologues infused in the federal government, infused in the White House.
As opposed to experts and public servants,
correct.
But ideologues.
That's exactly right. And I think Secretary Mayorkas is at the top of the
leads
list.
The way.
That's right. He does not care, Sebastian, about anything. He doesn't care about the second, third order negative impacts of the country. He only cares about pursuing his personal ideology.
You know,
that's it.
I'm not a manager. I'm not a leader of men. I've always been a bit of an iconoclast, and I don't do well with authority. But the idea of being the head of an agency of any size or any team, how many people at DHS?
Over 240,000.
240,000, and then going to work and knowing that everything you're committed to is going to hurt not just the country, but the people working under you. I don't know how a human being does that. One word answer to this, President Trump comes back. If people like you and Tom Homan are brought back into the fold, can this be fixed?
Absolutely can. Okay. Look, we already did it. In part, we just have to pull the Trump playbook off the shelf, dust it off, reinstitute it, and we're halfway there.
It's been done already. It can be done again. Dear friends, we need people like Mark Morgan to be cloned, and we need him back in government. I'm Sebastian Gorka. You've been listening to America First One-on-One. Wherever you are, keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.